Well, Voyager 1 is now about 11 billion miles from Earth. It's very close to the edge of interstellar space. It's still inside the huge bubble the sun creates around itself called the heliosphere.
And is it able to get past the heliosphere?
It'll continue to orbit this center of our galaxy essentially forever, and but it's headed toward right now toward the constellation Ophiuchus.
And how long do you expect it to take to get there?
Oh, well, it actually, by the time it gets very far, the stars will have moved a great deal. It'll be about 40,000 years before it passes by another star, and at that time it will still be much further from that star than it is from the sun today.
So in the meantime, it's at the edge of our solar system, and it's going to be there for how long, would you say?
Well, we don't know for sure how long it'll take to get outside the bubble around the sun. It may be a few months. It could be several years. But we're very close to reaching the boundary of interstellar space. Beyond outside the bubble, of course, where we will be surrounded by material that came from other stars, which exploded 5 to 10 million years ago.
And is this the first NASA craft that has gone that far out, or have there been others before it?
No, the Voyager 1 is now the most distant human-made object. It will be the first to reach interstellar space. We just hope that happens while we still have enough electrical power for it to send the data back to Earth.
So in the meantime, it is still sending data back to Earth after what, more than 30 years?
34 years. It transmits data 24 hours a day, and we listen with a deep space network of antennas roughly 10 hours a day to understand what it's detecting out there at the very edges of our solar system.
And how long does it take for communications signals to get from the Voyager back down here to Earth?
It's now about 16 and a half hours.
So it's not like you can have a chat with it very easily.
No, we mainly listen. Once in a while, we send a few instructions, but we mainly listen.
Did anyone at NASA expect it to last 34 years when Voyager 1 was first launched?
Well, you know, that's interesting because when the Voyagers were launched in 1977, the space age itself was only 20 years old. So there was no experience to tell us how long such spacecraft could last. But we had hoped so because the interstellar mission was part of the very beginning goal of the Voyager mission.
And have you been involved since the beginning, or when did you take over Voyager?
Well, I've been the chief scientist since we began designing it back in 1972.
So this is almost like family for you.
Oh, very much so, yes. my own family grew up at the same time as Voyager was flying by the planets back in the 1970s.
So
80s.
Let's talk about what it's telling us right now, say, as of 16 and a half hours ago. What kind of new knowledge are we getting from the edge of our solar system that we didn't have before?
Well, the sun has a million mile per hour wind blowing radially outward from it. That's just the atmosphere of the sun speeding away supersonically. And we measure the speed of that wind. And we are now at the point where the wind is essentially no longer moving out radially at all. But in fact, it seems to be actually turned around a bit, which tells us that we're getting very close to the boundary because the wind can't go beyond that boundary. Outside is the wind from other stars. And so we're getting close. We just can't say how close yet.
We're speaking with Ed Stone. He is the Voyager chief scientist at NASA. So, in other words, there's a point at which the sun's influence really stops, and then what else is out there in space takes over.
Yes, that's correct. Of course, gravity continues, but in terms of the wind from the sun, there will be a point where we will no longer be in that wind. We will have crossed the boundary, and we will be in the wind that came from the explosion of other nearby stars.
So that could take the Voyager in a direction we can't really know at this point.
Well, the wind, of course, is only a wind in a sense that we have very sensitive instruments to measure it. Actually, the spacecraft, the vacuum out there is better than any here on Earth. So it's not completely empty, and we, in fact, can detect the wind. But the spacecraft itself is unaware of all this.
So it will continue going in a straight line till the star you mentioned earlier.
Exactly.
And what's your hope in terms of... Let's assume that it still communicates. What if it were to communicate with us for another 100 years?
Yes. Actually, it turns out we know that it won't go 100 years. We have the power supply is the natural radioactive decay of plutonium-38, which has a half-life. That is, every 88 years, there's half as much power as earlier. And so that means we're losing about 4 watts a year. And so we know that around 2025, we will no longer have enough power to, for the spacecraft to keep transmitting. But it will keep going. It will orbit the center of our galaxy essentially forever.
Now, by 2025, I'm guessing you will be retired. Do you hope some people after you will look after it?
I certainly hope so, and I certainly hope maybe I'll still be around to know about it, even if I'm not working any longer on it.
Now, I'm thinking, is there any part of your imagination that says, maybe, just maybe, after that point, something, some being will come by and see this thing and maybe rev it up again?
Well, it turns out space is really very empty, and there's a less than 1% probability that in the next billion years, Voyager will get as close to another star as it is to the sun today. So this space is exceedingly empty, it turns out.
Yeah, so no sentiments about little green men out there that are going to see this thing and say, hey, there's more like us.
No, I think that this is not the way we will ever make contact with other beings. Perhaps someday we'll get a radio signal, but I think it's going to be very challenging for anything like this to be found.
So as New Year's Eve approaches, is that kind of a time when you reflect on these 34 years and the fact that your baby is out there in space still talking to us?
In fact, yes, it is. We're looking at our data almost every day because it's a space that we've never been before, and we're continuing to be surprised what we discover.
And what is the volume of data that we have gotten in these 34 years from Voyager 1?
Well, I don't really remember now, but when we were flying by the planets, our data rate was more like 100,000. Bits per second. Now it's only 160 bits per second. So most of the data in terms of quantity came from our four flybys of Jupiter, our six flybys, two at Jupiter, two at Saturn, and then Uranus and Neptune.
Is there any data set or any discovery from this craft that you would consider the most significant in terms of science?
Well, we had so many discoveries, but if I had to pick one, I would pick the first really surprising discovery, which was our first flyby of Jupiter, where we found eight volcanoes erupting from the moon Io. Before that, the only known active volcanoes in the solar system were here on Earth. And suddenly we had a small moon of another planet which had 10 times more volcanic activity than the Earth itself.
Wow. Anything to add?
It's really been a tremendously exciting journey from a scientific point of view, and it continues to be because these will be the first spacecraft to send us data back from interstellar space, our first interstellar spacecraft.
So this machine has been your career, and it sounds like you don't regret a minute of it.
No, how could I? This has been a wonderful journey of exploration.